We're looking for your stories of how you're finding yourself in debt and how you're getting out of debt. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. And Catherine Lanfer is in for John Hockenberry today. So good morning to you, Catherine.
Oh, these debt stories.
I know, it's tough.
It's really tough.
It's really tough. And one of the problems, Catherine, is that Americans have one of the worst saving rates in history. And we're in more debt than we ever have been, and we have the highest rates of debt in the world. And as I said, this week we're going to be looking at debt, and we're going to be looking at a number of perspectives. And we're going to start with this. In 2007, American households needed 240 years of savings to pay back what they owe on homes, cars, and credit cards. We collectively, as a group, we owe about $14 trillion. Ronald Wilcox, author of Whatever Happened to Thrift, Why Americans Don't Save and What to Do About It, he joins us now. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So these numbers are a little staggering. I think I read that last month, 5,000 Americans went bankrupt every day. Ronald, what's happening?
Well, Americans' own household balance sheets are very fragile, so it doesn't take much right now to throw people into bankruptcy. The previous caller that we just listened to had a medical emergency. That's very common. That's a common way people get into bankruptcy problems. But increasingly, we're seeing this just as a result of consumer debt, where someone either loses their job or maybe even doesn't get the raise they were anticipating getting. Even that kind of small fluctuation can throw people into financial difficulty.
And clearly, this is potentially going to get worse, at least for some people, with the market expecting more people to lose jobs, at least over the near months coming. But let's talk about the cultural theme here. Is it just that we don't know how to save, we choose not to save, or we're just optimistic and believing that somehow the money is just going to show up so we can pay our bills?
Well, I think it's all of the above, what you just said. I mean, Americans are... we're at the bottom of the developed world in terms of how much we save. I think one thing to emphasize would be, although we are worse now than we ever have been, typically we have not been very good. Americans are just not good savers. I mean, we were terrible savers in the roaring 20s. We saved more during the time around the Depression. But since about the end of World War II to now, we haven't been particularly good savers, at least relative to the rest of the developed world. Part of that is American optimism. When psychologists look at different cultures and how optimistic versus pessimistic some cultures are, Americans are always right at the top in terms of optimism. And if you think tomorrow is going to be better than today, one of the things you don't do is save a lot of money. People that are more pessimistic tend to save more money. It's also the case that in the American system of retirement savings, that's a very complicated system. We have a very complicated system relative to the rest of the developed world. And a lot of people enter those marketplaces and don't really know what to do. And one principle we know from business and marketing is when you enter a situation where there's lots of choices and you can get very confused, often what people do is they choose not to choose. And I think that's what's happened with a lot of people is they go into complicated retirement plans and don't know what they're doing. So they kind of say, hey, I'll look at that next weekend. And they don't take the steps necessary to begin the process of savings, which is really the hardest part of the whole process.
And given the sensitive economy, the struggling economy today, there is this kind of conundrum, which is you want people to save, but by the same token now, we want people to spend money to stimulate the economy. So how do you weigh those two things?
Well, I'd call it a short run versus long run deal. I mean, in the short run, it certainly is better for the economy if people spend money. In the long run, it's really not good for the economy that people have very poor balance sheets. In other words, that they're in debt. The fact that people are in a lot of debt certainly contributed to the housing crisis that's really dragging and began to drag the economy down right now. The fact that people didn't have any down payments for their homes, and when those homes went down in value a little bit, then of course if you don't have any equity in the house, it's easy to walk away. If you had a 20% down payment, it's a lot harder to walk away. So in the long term, it creates economic difficulty when people don't save. But you can expect over the coming weeks and months that the government will exhort us to spend money. You know, when those rebate checks went out to people, they asked us to spend them. And one of the one thing that disappointed a lot of people is that when people got those checks in the mail, what they did was many people saved that money. And so I expect that some of the fiscal stimulus packages that will be floated in the next few months will run into that difficulty as well. It'll be hard to get people to save money or spend money when they're in that deep of debt.
You know, you were talking earlier about how I think there's a sort of generational thing that goes on as well. If you were born during the Depression, you might be more likely to save. But what about this, the younger generation that really hasn't had anything like a depression in their lives? All they've known is a governmental directive to spend and prosperity.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things at play there. One is any country that goes through a rough time, whether it be a depression or a war or whatever, the people that saw that in their lives tend to save more, even as they get older. They remember the hard times and that things can get bad, so they save, and that certainly happened in the U.S. Yes, the younger generation saves less. If you look at the 18 to 25-year-olds, less than any American generation. But I think, you know, I'll add to that, they have a special difficulty, and that is that a lot of 22, 23-year-olds get out with a lot of student loan debt, really staggering amounts of student loan debt.
Right, we've heard some of that earlier.
Yeah, and, you know, if you get out of college and you're thinking about buying a car, and you say, hey, it's $15,000, which would be cheap, but and you don't have any student loan debt, you say, hey, do I really want to go into $15,000 worth of debt? And you might not do that. But if you're already in $50,000 worth of debt, you say, hey,
you gotta think
twice.
I'm
just moving the needle from 50 to 65. Actually, what happens
psychologically,
it's easier for people to go into debt once they've already had a bunch of debt. So I think what the student loan debt has done is really kind of grease the skids for people to get into even more consumer debt, where, you know, 20, 30 years ago, that was not the state of the world. And it was easier for people to save coming out of college.
Ronald, in the few seconds we have left, quickly give us some advice on how to consider our debt and how to get out of it.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of financial books out there and a lot of financial advice. I'm going to let somebody else do that. But I'll just point out one thing. All of us, when we think about how much to consume in our lives, whether it's how much, you know, what kind of clothes to wear, cars to buy, whatever, we all look at the people around us. The people we think we're like them, and we say, okay, this is what's appropriate for me to consume. And we got to realize two things. One is our mind plays tricks on us. We often remember the things that we like and don't remember the things we like. When we walk through the parking lot, we remember the Saab, but we don't remember the Subaru Outbacks. You know, and there might be more Subaru Outbacks out there than Saabs, and we think, well, a Saab would be fine for me, or, you know, a real nice article of clothing. Our minds are systematic, and then they play tricks. And I'll just one final thing is that
quickly,
most a lot of consumption we see is financed, so you realize they can't afford it either.
Stop financing things, pay cash. Ronald Wilcox, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Oh, I appreciated it.
Ronald Wilcox is a professor of business administration at the Darden School of Business at the University of Virginia, and also author of Whatever Happened to Thrift: Why Americans Don't Save and What to Do About It. There's the beginning of our Debtor Nation series this week. The takeaway, taking a look at debt, how you get there, and how you get out. We want to hear your stories, 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm Catherine Lanford. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.